My guest is Matthew Kinslow. He is author of Unstoppable, How One Person with Autism Is Never Given Up on His Lifetime Dream to Become a Teacher and Worldwide Influencer. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hi, Dr. Franklin. I'm doing good.
Very good. So let's talk about your book. And I just want to have you discuss, first of all, in your press release, I see a line here that said you choose to meet discrimination with forgiveness and adversity with perseverance. Talk a bit about that. What does that mean?
Well, as a person with autism, I have faced a lot of challenges, including discrimination for who I am from my school days to the current day and age. And I just felt that, you know, what else could I do but to spread awareness? And in the meantime, I can't stop myself from doing what I'm called to do just because of what other people told me. And, you know, also based on my upbringing, I just believe forgiveness is like good medicine. Like forgiveness helps me as well.
Well, let's talk about specific examples of, I guess, others being discriminatory or indifferent toward you. Cite some specific examples for our audience, please.
Yes, it started in kindergarten when a couple of my classmates first said, like, go away, Matthew, you're not playing with us. And as I got older in elementary school, like a person chucked a handball at my face and another person called me names. But I understand that those are like elementary school bullying and everything. By middle school, the amount of bullying went down, but yet during middle school to high school and in my college years, there were still people that chose to discriminate against me by laughing at me or cussing at me. There have been times when I'm walking in the neighborhood and a few times people have yelled from their cars. There's one time where a person was slowly following me by their vehicle, and I'm still not exactly sure why, but they were following me. I turned around and the man inside was looking at me with some weird look. And then in 2022, I was name called once again at a convenience store or just outside a convenience store. And at this point, I'm like, I want to just try to explain, listen, I just have autism. But before I could, he started to sprint at me with his skateboard up by his shoulders. And I assume he was just about to beat me. But by a miracle, there happened to be a police officer there that stopped it before it happened. And those are just like a few examples that I faced out of many.
How does this make you feel? And how did it make you feel? And how did you deal with and cope with that? As you said, through forgiveness, yes, but the emotional scars must still be there or were there. And how do you get rid of those?
In all candor, it is hurtful. And when I get like these comments or these things that happen, what really makes me hurt inside is the fact that I never asked to have autism or be the way I am. And yet other people who may not recognize that choose to discriminate. And I'm just trying to live a life where I believe I'm doing what I'm called to do for other people. And some people in the neighborhood just, or online, just don't seem to accept that yet. And so what else could I do? I mean, I'm not a person that would want to be mean back to them. And sometimes I just have to walk away. And sometimes that just leaves a hole in my heart, if you will, because I want everyone to accept each other. I want the bullies to stop and understand. And I think that as part of forgiveness, I advocate being kind back at all costs. So if anything were to happen, if I were to run into these people again, I wouldn't be mean back. I would just be as kind as I can. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't right away. But those are the ways I cope.
Another way that you cope, you almost get the last word in terms of writing your book. I want you to talk about your book in terms of why you interjected in your book some of your challenges with autism and how that is helping, maybe not you getting the last word, but certainly you painting a very clear picture of what's in your heart and what you'd like to have people to get from your book, from your experience.
Indeed, writing is quite a catharsis for me, and it's a way for me to get everything that's in my mind and in my heart out on paper. And another reason why I wrote the books is not just for my benefit, but to bring awareness to those who don't have a disability and encouragement to those who do. And so part of what I wrote about are these challenges, such as discrimination, but other challenges too, such as learning accommodations that I needed to have, as well as successes that I've had as a person with autism to hopefully motivate other people that if I could do the things that I could do, they can too.
Another point you make that I gather from your book is that persons with disabilities are creative. Persons with disabilities are no different than anyone else. They just have to be seen by others and other individuals as contributing individuals to the society. So talk a little bit more about how you hope to and have inspired people with disabilities, as well as individuals who don't have disabilities, to understand each other.
Yeah, again, I believe that part of what I'm called to do is to spread awareness and then ultimately acceptance and inclusion. And I'm just hoping that people with disabilities, again, could eventually feel that they do belong in some way. And for people who don't have a disability to understand and be friends and give one another a chance.
You want to be a global influencer. Talk a bit about that. And what does that mean, a global influencer?
To go out in the news media and on social media the best I can through my videos and through my books. That's part of what I believe I'm called to do, other than teaching and tutoring. But as far as being a worldwide influencer, I do post on social media like Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and all the others. And my hope is to just spread encouragement as well as spread awareness from my firsthand experience of what it's like living with autism. So far, you know, of course, I seasonally get negative feedback, but most of the time I seem to get positive feedback from parents or family members of those with autism, and a lot of feedback from people who have autism themselves, thanking me for how I worded things, or at least agreeing with me that this is how they feel too.
And you're a substitute teacher. Talk about the importance of being a substitute teacher and the importance of being a teacher. That's a very worthwhile and very important job in our school. So talk a bit about your substitute teaching and where you're teaching at and the subjects that you teach.
I've always wanted to be a teacher since probably first or second grade, give or take a year. And by 11th grade, it solidified. And I'm like, this is what brings me passion and joy in life. And part of what I liked about the idea of teaching is explaining things and trying my best to explain things clearly. So after my undergrad, I took the credential program through Vanguard University of Southern California, and I student taught at my former middle school, Ensign Intermediate School, and I student taught enhanced mathematics, and it was amazing experience. My mentor teacher was amazing, and my professors at Vanguard were incredible and supportive of me. And again, part of what I love about the idea of teaching is you know, seeing the wheels turning and seeing the light bulbs go off. And I've had those experiences. While I was in my beginning student teaching days, my mentor teacher encouraged me to be a substitute teacher. And so that's how I became a substitute teacher. and I'm substituting elementary to high school these days. And pretty much every day is different. And sometimes I get to teach subjects, and other times I'm just giving out tests and or telling the students this is what your teacher has for you to do on your Chromebook. But I through teaching, through substitute teaching, I do have those opportunities to call on raised hands. Like I get to go around the classroom and students have questions on their math, for example. So it just fills me with joy, and ultimately I'm hoping for people to understand that my heart is for the future generation and for these students' success.
I really understand the part when you mentioned having a light bulb to go off. I teach, and in my classrooms, when I'm able to see a student that come in maybe at the beginning of the semester, maybe wide-eyed and not really getting it, but then at the end of the semester, you see that light bulb is going off. You know, there's a clarity in that student's eyes, and they grasp the subject matter at that particular point in time. Talk to me and the audience about that moment for you. I like to say I try never to miss a teachable moment, and I'd like to have you share with our audience any teachable moments that you've experienced in the classroom with some of your students.
Yeah, there are times I found moments where I got to explain things in a way that the students got that light bulb that goes off. Like you could hear it or you could see it in their face. And one of my favorite lessons I taught was where I taught about completing the square, and I actually brought construction paper and magnets that I assembled myself, and I put them on the board, on the whiteboard, and I completed the square before their eyes. I've walked them through the problem, and it's like this is what it looks like, graphically like this. So if that makes sense.
It does. You say that you are a proponent of inclusion, appealing for the non-disabled to make time to get to know us, those with disabilities. Talk a bit about that, the importance of inclusion, the importance of acceptance. Talk a bit about that.
One of the myths that I've heard about autism is that we could be antisocial. And I know I can't speak for everybody, but I could for sure say that we're not necessarily antisocial. We desire and long to be included. And throughout my childhood and my teenage years, I've longed to spend time with the friends I did make. I mean, by middle school or by high school graduation, I've made hundreds of friends, but I hardly hung out with any of them. I did confess to a couple of friends of mine in 11th grade that how I feel if I go up to a person, I'm afraid that I'm going to be intrusive. And he's like, no, don't think that at all. And so he and his friends helped me out. But I've always desired to feel included. And I just spent a lot of time in my life just alone, just at my house, just doing puzzles or Game Boy or projects or homework or something. And so I'm like, well, that felt very isolating. I felt very lonesome, and I don't want other people to feel that way. And so part of what I especially tell students when I do volunteer assemblies across Orange County, California, is, you know, help one another feel included. Think of yourself as a team. Together, everyone achieves much, or together, everyone achieves more is what team stands for. And team members are made up of a diversity of backgrounds, but help them feel included. Some people may not like going to the movies or listening to loud music at concerts, but they're perfectly content bike riding or playing a board game at home. But you won't know unless you talk with them and introduce them to your friends, thereby making them feel included.
We cannot forget the role of our parents, and I'd like to have you talk about the role of your parents in terms of really giving you the grounding, the encouragement, and really the genes to be such a positive person, and an advocate for those with disability.
My mother and grandfather raised me, and I'm very, very, I feel very blessed for that. I've been raised in a faith-based household, and my mother was a very, is a very strong advocate when I was younger, speaking to my teachers about me and then giving me some encouragements. My mother had helped me get plugged into the Royal Rangers program, which is like Boy Scouts, like a scouting ministry. And that really helped me build leadership and confidence. And my mother also taught me some life lessons as I got older, like cooking, driving a car, balancing a checkbook. And that's what I encourage, a lot of people, especially parents of those of special needs, to do is to encourage the child to ultimately advocate for themselves, teaching them life skills that they would need.
It says here, in addition to your being a best-selling author, and I want to come back to that point, you're a juggler and a pianist. Talk a bit about your role as a pianist. Talk a bit about that.
Both piano and juggling, I started in elementary school, and I started piano playing in third grade, and my first talent show that I had was in fourth grade for playing God Bless America on the keyboard. And it's just a catharsis for me, like a release, a way to escape, a way to process just playing songs I love on piano. And I also am plugged in with a lot of got plugged in with worship ministry at various churches throughout my life, getting to develop the skill of playing, getting the opportunity to play solos, and getting the opportunity of team building and learning while playing with other people in a worship team, for example. So I love playing piano.
And do you find solace in the arts and music?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
As a best-selling author, your first book, Juggling the Issues, you won a major award, two major awards. Talk a bit about that book, Juggling the Issues, and the awards that it received.
Juggling the Issues, my first book is an anthology composed of 29 short stories. Short stories include like the pros of autism, others are the cons of autism, so the ups and downs of autism. Other short stories are about organizations like the Royal Rangers that really gave me a chance in life. And I also talk about how I started with juggling and piano playing. And that's kind of my first book summarized. And in 2020, I was looking on the internet, and I discovered that Book Authority gave me a couple of awards, like best books to read in 2020 and best autism books to read, something to that effect, like best autism books of all time. I was one of a list of that, so I really appreciate that.
My teachers really helped to mold me into the person that I am. My teachers helped me to want to be a teacher. And I'm curious to know some of those influencers that you model yourself and your behavior after at this particular point in your career.
My mentors that helped shape me to who I am, of course, include my family, include the commanders at Royal Rangers, but also included pretty much all the teachers I've had. I've looked up to all my teachers from preschool to 12th grade. I looked up to all my professors, and like seeing how they taught and seeing the passion, the love, and the care that they had for students just encouraged me to be just like that, a teacher that cares about the students and their future and their education. To not be like, I want to be a teacher that helps people understand and that the students know that I do value them and their future and that I'm here to help them, not just to teach a lesson and not answer questions. I mean, I'm always open to questions so that I could help clarify some points.
You say something that's pretty interesting that I want to share with our audience and then have you comment on. Maybe this point you've spoken to already, but I'd like to have you maybe elaborate a bit further. You say sometimes we have to learn to go through things and not around things. I think that's a pretty poignant point that I'd like to have you maybe discuss a bit more on that.
Yes, that's something I've learned in life. Sometimes I have to come to terms with my limitations as a person with autism. Some things take longer for me to accomplish, and I have the choice to cheat and do things quick, or I could really like take my time, and it'd be better in the long run for my life if I take my time. Something that I had to do was accept that it's taking 5 years for me to go to a 2-year junior college. So after high school, I went to OCC, which is a 2-year college, and it took me 5 years to get an associate's degree. And sometimes I just have to take fewer classes than a lot of classes for, you know, the benefit of my learning, so that I'm not taking a whole bunch of classes and hardly learning anything in the long run. So like, that's one example I could think of.
And you say another point, you use the word invisible, that Ralph Ellison spoke of the invisible man. But in this particular case, you're saying that people don't see you or don't see those with autism. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, sometimes it does feel as isolating as feeling invisible in the community and in public. It just sometimes it's like our brain seems to be like a different world or a different universe. And when we feel that, people may not understand what's in our minds and what we go through, then it does feel as if we're invisible, not heard, not understood. And then for the few people that make fun of that, then on top of feeling lonely and invisible, it has that hurt that we were talking about but earlier. But again, I choose to forgive and believe. Like part of what makes me, part of what keeps me going is the belief that I do have a purpose, and I may not see it in fruition yet. I believe it will be coming to fruition in the future, and that light at the end of the tunnel is what's keeping me going in life.
And you do believe, and I can say this, but I'd like to know what you think. You are making a difference, and you are being a positive influencer to those who read your book and for those who hear what you say. You do feel that you're being positive and making a positive difference, yes?
Yeah, I believe so.
How does that make you feel when you are with your thoughts and your thinking, you're reflecting upon the hurt that individuals have exacted on you, but you're not negatively responding? You're feeling the love and the positiveness of the difference, the positive difference that you're making with those who hear you, read your book, hear what you say. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel alive, like I'm heard. It's just an amazing feeling and humbling feeling, knowing that I have made a positive impact on students as a teacher and other students and people across the county through my volunteer assemblies. When I do assemblies, I often hear that it was impactful to the students. There were meaningful discussions afterward, and I've gotten contacted by like parents and other school administrators saying that what I did was the first thing that the child talked about when they were picked up from school that day or when they got home. Other people have emailed me from the schools and said that I've changed lives on the days that I've done these volunteer assemblies. And then on social media, I've been reading a lot of comments over the past several years on my autism videos or shorts or reels, and hearing a lot of people thanking me for doing what I do and explaining things, is very humbling. It's an amazing feeling, and I feel blessed.
As we run toward the end of our Very amazing interview here. Is there a consistent question that you get, a most question you get most often when you're speaking about disability awareness and autism? Is there one question that keeps coming up time after time after time that you respond to?
Not that I could really think of, other than like a lot of the questions that we've already discussed in part.
Okay. So let me ask this question. What's next for Matthew Kinslow? What's next on the agenda of things to do?
Well, I've been talking to Vanguard University. I mean, like, as far as career-wise, I've been talking to Vanguard University of possibly being a math professor part-time there, since I just got a master's degree from Vanguard on May 2nd. I'm continuing to substitute around Newport Mesa Unified School District, and that might last for the next few years as I because my goal is to do assemblies in every school in Orange County, and I've already spoken to 10,000 students and a half million more to go. And so in the meantime, I just plan to substitute, get experiences. A professor, hopefully in the future. I'm currently a tutor, so I get more experience teaching, as well as doing assemblies. And then on the social media side, I'm going to continue to post and go on news media as much as I can.
My guest today has been Matthew Kinslow. He is author of Unstoppable: How One Person with Autism Is Never Given Up on His Lifelong Dream to Become a Teacher and a Worldwide Influencer. Matthew, thank you for being a guest today on Like It Is.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.